Good morning, everybody. I'm going to do a morning announcement. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doors open at 5 p.m. Classes begin at 5:30. In person and in Zoom. Tithes, offerings, and benevolence may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary and exit the sanctuary. January 26, 2006, Monday, Foreign Mission Drive. February announcements, February 1st, Communion Sunday. February 7th, Men's Quarterly Meeting at 9 a.m. DWD meeting at 9 a.m. February 7th, Saturday, Women's Christian Grove Fellowship, 10:30 to 11:30. You're welcome to stay for fellowship and a meal after the session. February 14th, Saturday, Men's Christian Grove Fellowship, from 10:15 to 11:15. You're welcome to stay for a meal and fellowship after the session. February 22nd, New Hope Ordination Service, Dr. Judy Williams, speaker at 2 p.m. at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, where the Reverend David Brown is the pastor. February 25th, corporate prayer service at 5:30. February 28th, you have men's day choir rehearsal at 11:30 a.m. Then February 28th, you have the Nurses Black Awards Banquet at Doubletree Hotel at 3 p.m. Tickets are $75. Please see Cynthia Johnson for tickets. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation and by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and support of presence as needed by our congregation. Then we have a flyer for the blood drive at Illinois State University held by the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated at Barson Towers at the Rosa Parks Room in Normal on February 30th, 2026 from 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Please see Sister Linda Pierce for any information regarding that. Then I have one more flyer that said, "Let's go fishing, vacation Bible school, I'm hooked." We're letting God reel us into his mission. Save the date. It's on June 15th to June 19th, 2026. This is what we need. We need teachers and we need students. Let's grab our fishing rods and fish for those who need to hear and come into the knowledge of God. That concludes our morning's announcements. Now I'll turn you over to the hands of the pulpit. God bless.
Amen. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in today. Amen. Amen.
Let us come together and worship our God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. 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 Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship on this morning. Those who are able, if you please stand for our corporate scripture reading. Those who are able, prepare your hearts and minds for our corporate scripture reading on today. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Let us read together King James Version. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." First and greatest command. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let us say together, love God and love others. Amen. 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 Let us please remain standing for our Lord's Prayer. We'll start with our Father. Let us begin. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. We now turn you in the hands of our music ministry. Come now praying for those who are in this snowstorm, highways and byways, possibly trapped inside their homes. Pray for those in bereavement. Pray for those on our prayer list. And first and most, we pray for ourselves, that we keep on depending and trusting in our God, who showed us through the Old Testament that Israel could conquer the land if they just were obedient. Through the New Testament, we can be saved and have right relationship with God if we just depend on Jesus Christ through faith. That is what our righteousness is. My brothers and sisters, will you pray with me on today? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Lord, we stand before you, sit before you, kneel before you, acknowledging that we are sinners, that we are broken. Our minds don't always think of holy things. Our hands don't always do holy things. Our feet don't always take us to holy places. But God, as we reflect on our sinful nature, it turns into a praise, not of guilt, but honor of you, of saying thank you for looking beyond our faults and seeing what we need. And Lord, we need Jesus, because we just can't think righteously without Jesus. His Holy Spirit, Spirit of our Christ, in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, thank you for Jesus, that now we don't have despair, but we have hope. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, that in the midnight hour we can call on his name and his spirit be there. Thank you for Jesus that allowed us to wake up this morning with grace and mercy surrounding us. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much, God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we ask you to come in this service. Somebody stepped in here today and is listening here today and need a healing. Maybe in relationships, maybe in their body, maybe in their thinking, whatever it is, God, we know you're healing, God. You can take which is broken and mend it back together. Doesn't matter what men may think or say, Lord, you're able with your powerful hands to break and fix what has been broken. So we thank you, Lord. Come now, help us, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Spirit of the living God, come here in this service. You are, lift you up, make you our priority, for you are our light, you are our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. We thank God for each and every one of you on coming out today for worship. We come to lift up the mighty name of Jesus on today. There is a word on today's second letter of Paul to Timothy. That's 2 Timothy. We have letter 2 Timothy, second letter of Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll be looking at verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. We'll be looking at that. Let us meditate. Let us focus on this little song that we want to get on our hearts and our minds. I don't know if you thought about it this week, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. Somebody feeling lost. Just a little chorus of this song reminds us that Jesus is the answer. No matter what it is, no matter where you are, who is the answer? Jesus is the answer. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer.
above. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6.
Jesus is the way.
Okay, turn that around one more time. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer.
Oh, Father. Sing that with me. Oh,
Jesus is the answer.
Oh, for the world today.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to take this sponge here and squeeze a little bit out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Just one verse. You can read this letter to Timothy, but one verse, if I can just squeeze this verse just a little bit. King James Version, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. My brother and sister, hear ye the word of God. King James Version is what I'm reading from. If y'all sound different, that may be the reason why. Just a simple message today. It says, wherefore, King James Version, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. I'm going to read that again. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Today I want to talk about fan the flame, igniting your God-given gifts. Fan the flame, igniting your God-given gifts. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I want to talk about you a little bit and talk about me as I want to let you know, because you are God's child and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not an empty vessel. God has equipped you to do some things, some special things, not just for yourself, but for his kingdom, to help his gospel grow and to help his message grow. And what we call those special things that God has implanted in your heart and in your mind to be able to be skillful, and not only skillful, but anointed to do, we call them spiritual gifts. And we have to keep that in our mind as we develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And as your pastor, that's my job to encourage you. But I cannot neglect the fact that there are spiritual gifts in your life, and I must encourage you day in and day out to seek those and use those. And what God has gifted you to do, you are already going to naturally do. Fan the flame. Ignite your God-given gifts. When you fan that flame, that means revive it, rekindle it, blow a little air on that fire so it can keep going. Somebody may say, I don't know what to do. Well, the reason why you don't know what to do is because Satan is busy and he knows he can't mess with you, so he'll start messing with stuff, people, places around you. Have you noticed the been used the church? I made God my choice. I'm going to do what the Lord tell me to do. And you may even use the church as an instrument to do so. And you may, I'm going to get more active in church. I'm going to make sure I go to Bible study. Then the next thing you know, they start messing with your job and you got to stay a little bit later. Kids start getting busy. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And all that is Satan is trying to mess up with your gift program. God has called you and equipped you to do some skills, and you have to stay focused that, no, this ain't about me. This is about glorifying God, and I have to use the hands that he has given me to carry out his kingdom work. Now we have to be clear, not other folk work, because even in the church, not just out in the world, even in the church, people will give you assignments that they don't want to do or they tired of doing, and that's their assignment. But make sure that it's a spiritual gift, and I assure you we can have a one-on-one conversation about it. Whatever God has gifted you to do, you get the can't help it. You're going to show up. If it's for you to teach, you're going to show up and have a desire to just be around places of teaching. If it's helping people, you can't help it. You just go help somebody. Whatever your gift is, it's just your natural tendency to do it. I know that I sing but I know I'm not a singer. Walk with me a little bit. There are some people who are gifted in singing. I'm not one of them. I can sing, but I'm not a singer. There are people who are more skilled. They can sing. You give them a little scale there and stay on that part. Hear it in their ear and they can sing that scale and they know their part and can stay on that part. That's not me. So I don't try to move myself in an area even though I can do it, but I'm not skilled and anointed to do that. Now, there are some people like me, though, who are anointed to sing but don't have the skills. Because even though they may not sound better than some people who have the skills, if you notice and you look around, folk want to sing with them. People want to help them out. People are always around, and their ministry is growing. Why? They may not have the skills, but they have the anointing. Oh, help me, somebody. They may not in teaching, they may not be able to break down that text like some folk, but have you noticed there's some folk that can just make you feel the presence of the Lord and the principle of the text, but they're not going to exegete it and tear it all down? That means they may not have the skills like everybody else. They may not have the ACT, SAT, whatever, college, Harvard, whatever it is, but they have the anointing. And God blesses that person to do what they've been called to do. So don't get caught up on what you can do. Get caught up on what you're anointed to do. We are called to actively cultivate and utilize the gifts that God has given us for his glory and the advancement of his kingdom. Why do I preach? Because God called me to preach. Why do I keep on pastoring? Because I tried to run from pastoring. I said, I'm going to go to Chicago Divinity School, and then I'm going to teach in, I know the Lord was calling, I told the Lord, I'm going to teach in seminaries. And he said, no, you're not. You have been called for the local church ministry. Look at me now. You have to walk in your calling. There's a saying, you can run, you can't hide. Whatever God has called you to do, he's equipped you to do it, and it won't feel like work. You just got to itch in for it, and you got to scratch it. You got to do what the Lord has called you to do. Imagine a beautiful campfire. And in a beautiful campfire, each log is placed in a particular place, so the flames can dance brightly and give you warmth and light and heat, and you just enjoy that fire burning, and you enjoy the heat, and you enjoy the light. And I'm going to make this illustration a little personal. I enjoy cooking the fish that I've caught along the river in my fire. But I've noticed something about that campfire. What happens if I don't keep on putting logs on that fire, if I don't keep on nurturing and putting time in that fire, if I neglect that fire, it eventually will go out. It dims. It don't have a strong light. And every now and then, I have to take and blow on that fire. If you ever had a fire and see that it kindled down and you blow on it, and then I notice in my fireplace at home, is it to get on down? I say, oh, I still got a flame. I can bring some more wood and blow on it. And then when I blow, the flame gets and it catches the new wood on fire. Our spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, can be just like that. If we are on fire for the Lord and we keep on blowing onto our spiritual gifts, there's potential there, but we need to give attention that if we want our gifts to burn bright, we got to keep on fanning the flame. Can't give up on it. I don't care how young you are. Your gift is older than you. Who gave it to you? God gave it to you. And see, no matter how old you are, your gift is good. So I want to say is that there's no discrepancy on who people are. It's not just old people that know some things about the Lord, but there's some young people who are anointed and have the anointed as well. It's everybody. There's some middle-aged folk that's gifted. Everybody has the anointing, and we can't look at the person and the shell, but we have to look at the gift. The apostle Paul writes this letter in Timothy to a young pastor in Ephesus. And Paul is himself facing persecution, and in the midst of his crisis and in the midst of his struggle in ministry, he encourages Timothy to be bold, have a backbone in his faith and in his leadership. And this specific verse emphasizes the importance of Timothy's spiritual gifts. Timothy, if you gonna deal with the adversities that come along and you want to be successful in ministry, I can hear Paul saying, you got to grab a hold and use those spiritual gifts, son. They've been given to you through the anointing, the laying of the hands, which was a common practice in the early church to recognize and activate leadership in ministry roles. And I can hear Paul say, son, if you just stand upon the gifts that God has given you, everything will be all right. I had told my oldest son that. He said, son, if you just depend on the Lord and the gifts that God has given you, the Lord will bless you. He'll lift you up. He'll carry you. You'll be all right in ministry. He said, but dad, I've discovered they'll criticize you, but they won't celebrate you. They'll tell you you can't do this, and then you do that. And then they'll criticize you, put you to the side. But then when you get there, they don't celebrate you. But if you depend on your spiritual gifts, son, God will lift you up above everybody else. He's learned that. He's my young Timothy. And God has blessed him beyond measure. And as we look at this text in our exploration of 2 Timothy verses 6, we can unpack what it means to fan the flames, the gifts of God within us. We will look at the nature of these gifts, what these gifts are about, and the responsibility we have to cultivate them and how we can apply them to our lives today. Because everyone in here is gifted, but Satan will work through people, places, and things to get you not to exercise your gift. He'll work through haters. He'll work through your health. He'll work through your job. He'll make your money funny just to get you from not exercising your spiritual gift. If you full of pride, Satan gonna poke that pride. If you feel full of attitude, he gonna do things to poke that attitude. Whatever is your weakness, your blemish, God knows that Satan is gonna mess with it. So this text needs to look at 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. If you look at that, he says to his young protege, Timothy, he says, Timothy, put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And here in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance to just stir up the gifts of God that are in you, which will come by the laying on of hands. The first thing I want to look at today is recognize the gift within you. I'm going to pause there. Recognize the gift within you. One thing I struggled with is I wanted other people to recognize the gift within me. Walk with me a little bit. But it's not for them to recognize the gift that's in me. It's for me to recognize the gift. Are y'all walking with me? It's for me to recognize that God has gifted and anointed me. It's not for others because they did not gift me. It's for God to give me the gift which he has, and it's for me to recognize that I'm gifted. Spiritually gifted to do what God has told me to do, because folk gonna see what they gonna see. Folk gonna do what they gonna do. So it doesn't matter if they see your anointing or your gift or not. God knows what he's called and equipped you to do, but you have to recognize that. There's a Bible verse, you can look it up. If folk don't accept you, shake the dust off your feet and move on. Go on with your bad self. If they're not going to recognize your anointing, recognize your gift, God will tell you when it's time. Get on up and get to stepping. But you got to recognize the gift that's within you. What are you saying, preacher? Recognize that you are gifted. Because nobody else is going to lift you up. You got to recognize that God has called you to do what you've been called to do. Paul begins with a reminder to Timothy to recognize the gift of God within him. The phrase fan into flames indicates that this gift is not static. It requires attention and action. You have to put focus into what God has gifted to you to do. If you've been called to preach, if you've been called to teach, if you've been called to help, if you've been called to fellowship, whatever your gift, to have the gift of patience, whatever your gift is, you have to nurture that. That gift is there, but that gift will mature as you fan that flame of that gift. You have to put that gift in action. You have to not gonna know everything like a young venomous snake. You have to learn how to use that venom that's naturally there. Sometimes even the scientists say that the venom of the young are more potent than those of the older snakes. Here in Scripture, Romans 12, 6 through 8, it highlights various gifts within the body of Christ, emphasizing that everyone has received a unique gift for service. Do you have your Bible, Roman? Look at that Roman. Roman. You got Roman? Roman chapter 12. If you look at Roman chapter 12, King James Version, it simply says this. Roman 12, verse 6 and 8. Recognize some gifts. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to you, wherefore prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhortation on exhortation, exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Looking at that, in other words, whatever God has given you, do it in decent and in order, but do it. God is gifting you, do it. God has given you a gift for his service, you got to do it. Take the time to reflect on your life. What do you always see yourself attracted to when it comes to God's work? That's a process. God has called you to do that. But remember that you have to go through a maturing process to be able to handle that gift in a way that pleases God. So take the time to reflect what gifts God has entrusted you with. Is it teaching? Is it encouragement? Is it hospitality? Is it leadership? Whatever it is, there is no minute or little or insignificant gift. Whatever your gift is, it's a gift. There was an old mother, I think I was about 17 years old, and you can remember her for her clapping. Every time there was devotion, she keep that beat. And sometimes some folk will get annoyed, but one day I was by some preachers, they were talking to her. And they said, you're always clapping and you're always loud no matter what's going on. She said, that's my gift. Do you notice y'all dead and sleep up in here? But when I start clapping, that serves some stuff up in here. Some folk wake up. And some look beyond. They thinking that it's annoying. But if you notice, just a little clap can stir up the service. Whatever you are gifted to do, don't be ashamed of your gift. I appreciate those who are gifted with amen. There's some that I know on this side, I got about 3.5. I know no matter what I'm doing, if I ain't on nothing that Sunday, they still gonna say, amen, Reverend. And I got about 5.5 over on this side that sit. I know where they sit. They gonna give me an amen, and then I get back on track. They're gifted to support and build me up in preaching God's word. Are you getting what I'm saying? So take time to see what you are gifted in and don't be ashamed of your gift. Use your gift. Don't say, well, I'm not good at that. Of course you're not good at it. But when you step in God's line, the longer you're in his line, he will mature you when it's time for you to serve. So the first thing is you just got to recognize. Look to your left, look to your right, even if it's a wall, even if it's blank today. You say, I got to recognize my gift. Yeah. Recognize your gift. Don't worry about it. Somebody else recognize it. You got to recognize that you're gifted. Second thing is, once you recognize your gift, 2 Timothy 1:6, once you recognize that gift, you got to fan the flame through practice and prayer. You can't just be gifted. You got to fan that flame. You got to work on it. I'm not going to say how much, but I used to be able to lift a considerable large amount of weight. Bench press, squat, used to do it very well. Time went on, and for whatever the reason, I stayed out the weight room. Time fast forwards, I get a teenager. Comes on in and he becomes very prolific and strong like I once was. And I forgot the I once was. So I went in there trying to do a workout that I used to do at his age. And it ended up being a doctor's appointment. Help me, somebody. But my wife said I can get a sermon out of anything. But that reminded me that if I don't keep my muscles going, if I don't keep certain things going, then I'm going to strain some stuff. I'm going to hurt some stuff. I got to fan that flame because when you don't use it, and it's not as strong as it used to be. It's still there. And is there anybody like me, you know, try to get in shape and it hurts? I'm talking about it hurts to get back. You ain't stretched in a while and you sit down to stretch and get them legs and arms and stuff like that. It hurts because you ain't moved it in a while. So you got to fan that flame for your spiritual gift. Reverend, how do I do it? Through practice and prayer. And don't stop practicing and don't stop praying. The verse implies that Timothy must actively engage with his gift. He can't go on no vacation from his gift. Fan into the flame. Fan into the gift suggests an effort. Just as the fire needs oxygen and fuel, our gifts require practice and prayer to grow. And can I say this, church? I'm not picking on nobody. I'm saying this for me, too, is give people room to grow. Don't tell them what to do with their gift. Just give them the advice to stay with the Lord because God will grow them up. God will grow them up. Give them the room to grow and let them bump their heads. Let them make some mistakes. I'm not talking about literally burn the building down or something like that, but let them do it. If they plan for 10 people and it end up being 30 people, that's good. And then when they feel discouraged, that's good. It's a learning lesson. There's some things you could have done. You don't jump up on them. Why? Because they're growing in their gift. They may not write it the right way. They may could have done it differently. Let them process their gift. Allow them to mature. They may play the wrong note. They ain't going to play the wrong note if they keep on doing it. Give them the opportunity to grow in whatever God has given them. And I'm not just talking about kids. I'm talking about adults too. God has called adults to do some stuff, but they're afraid to utilize their gift because they don't want judgment and criticism. But I say, come on up. Don't worry about that judgment. Don't worry about that criticism because God will lift you up and mature you in your gift. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-20 says, advises us not to quench the spirit and encourage us not to despise prophecies. Underscoring the points of being open and active in our spiritual gifts. And two is if we want to manhandle, if we want to organize, if we want to structure and direct somebody else's gift, we could be quenching the spirit that is working within them. If they're gifted, just give them the tools, which is the word of God. Give them what they need, Christian character. And first and foremost, an example of good Christian living. That's what they need because God is gifting them. But don't quench the spirit. Allow them to bloom and allow them to blow. And you know what I've learned? I love gifted people around me because I get contact gifts. Just because you gifted and the Lord blessing you, you get a free lunch. Guess who also get a free lunch? I get a free lunch. You get a discount because I'm hanging around with you, I end up getting a discount. Because you gifted, that gift gonna run. I'm gonna get blessed. We all gonna get blessed. If everybody acting in their gifts, then everybody gonna get contact gift blessings. Don't quench the spirit within yourself and don't quench the spirit in others. Let God work and give room and say, go on ahead and do what God has told you to do. Just as God has a place for me, has a place for you, go on ahead and do it. Music, musician, spends hours practicing to hone his or her craft. Similarly, a believer must commit to prayer and action. Consider a church's music ministry that flourishes because members dedicate themselves to rehearsing and serving together. In a choir, when there are instruments, that are sang and things of that nature, the more that they sing together, the more that they play together, they get a feel for each other because they are actively working and honing their gift. The same thing as us as the church body. We have to work together. We have to make some mistakes together. We have to bump our heads together. And we have to lift each other up in prayer and gift and encourage people. Why? Because God has work for us to do. And we need to pray for God to reveal the opportunities for us that we can use our gifts to serve for him. Everybody ain't gifted to make a bowl of soup. My gift is to go to the store, buy a can of chicken soup, take it home, get a can opener, open it up, put it in the bowl. I ain't turning on the stove, pop it in the microwave, get my spoon and stir that bad boy up. That's my gift. But I've noticed some folk that can take that water and that other stuff they do, and my mama takes some butter and do something with it. And that's some chicken noodle soup there, y'all. That's good. But I know to stay in my lane, bowl of soup ain't my gift, but eating is. So then I'm not going to try to tell the cook how to do what they do. So I'm going to stay in my lane, which my gift is to eat. So I'm going to have my spoon ready. Somebody catching what I'm trying to say? So as me knowing that my gift is to eat, not to cook, I'm not going to be over the cook saying, well, you need to get this and you need to go. That if you know it's a real cook, have you ever been with a real cook? If you know a cook, go to the grocery store with them, because it starts before they start cooking. They look at their ingredients. They go on the outside aisles. They don't go on the inside aisle. They go on the outside aisle, and they start looking at the vegetables and the ingredients, and they got to look for it. And then they get real intimate with it. They start smelling it. Then they shake it. And they do all that stuff that a gifted person would do. Check and make sure that is right. While me, I'm not gifted to do it. I'm going over there and get that can, and I'm popping it in the microwave. But because they gifted, they're going to take the time to get the ingredients right to get a good tasting bowl of soup. So I'm out of line if I'm telling that gifted cook, I'm trying to make a point. Well, you ought to buy this tomato, and you ought to get that one, and you ought to do, knowing that I don't know what a good tomato is. My gift is eating, so I'm about to leave y'all alone, but I need to grab my spoon and eat and let the cook cook. Did y'all catch that? I threw it. I hope y'all caught that. I'm almost through. I know y'all ready to go home. But first one is I need to recognize that I'm gifted. And then the second one is I need to fan the flame through practice and prayer. I have to practice that, and I have to pray for God's direction in that. And those who are gifted, let them do what they're going to do. Stay in your lane and support them. The third one is use your gifts for the kingdom of God. The text says the purpose of fanning the flame is to use the gifts effectively. Paul reminds Timothy that these gifts are not merely for personal benefit, but for the edification, the building up of the church and the advancement of the gospel. Stop. Let me say that again. Maybe let me click that screen back 10 seconds. The edification of the church and the advancement of the gospel is what it's about. It's about building up the church and advancing the gospel. That's the purpose of my gift. It's not to get money quick. It's not to get paid. God will bless you, but you can have both. You can have the blessings, but the first priority is for the gospel to be advanced and the church to be built up. Well, you know, the body is the church. People are the church, and we are the body of Christ. So if I'm building up the church, that means I'm building up people. I'm gifted. I'm gifted to pastor. I'm gifted to teach. I'm gifted to do things. And yes, I get the blessings of both, income as well as doing my gift. But there's others too who are gifted next to me, associate preachers and teachers and things of that nature. I allow them opportunities where they do what they do. You can have both. Allow them to exercise their gift, because what does that do for the body of Christ? It builds up the body of Christ when there's more people who are gifted to do the same thing that I do. Help me, somebody. If I'm doing it for my own self and I'm there 40, 50 years, and I don't plan on doing it, but I'm 89 years old, and they rolling me on here, and I'm still pastor, and I ain't let nobody else do anything else, what is going to happen to the ministry? is not going to be built up. So what I need to do is open it up where others can come in and exercise their gifts and build it up, and there be some people coming up behind me. And when it's my time to go, I can walk out of here instead of being carried out of here. Help me, somebody. And it is a sad case, even in the church, that we hold on to positions and God, and they're going to have to roll you on each other, and we just push them on side and say it is there, and you're going to get 89 years old, and they're going to have to roll you on in here, and the church ain't been built up. Don't y'all get quiet on me. The purpose of fanning the flame is to use your gifts effectively, not just to use your gifts, but to use your gifts effectively. I'm going to teach this thing if I got to teach it all by myself. Is that Paul says that these gifts are not just for my personal benefit, but they are for two things: to build up the church and to advance the gospel. So I got to build up the people through my gift, and I have to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 emphasizes that spiritual gifts are given for the building up of the body of Christ. To do what? To equip believers. To equip believers for ministry and achieving unity in faith. So it really doesn't align with Christian behavior if I'm just going to let somebody sit who is gifted, who's around me, and I'm going to sit there and hold on to a position, because that's not my biblical job. My job is to equip believers to be built up. And I'm going to tell you this in time, I've been doing this pastoring ministry for 24 years, and when I started off, I tried to do it all by myself. But now, ministry has gotten so busy and stuff like that, the Lord has taught me through experience. Help! Help! Before I need it. If I see somebody my age, you won't be with me? All right. See somebody younger than me. All right, somebody older. It don't matter. Help, because you never know when you need help. I can't be here all the time. I can't do it all. You need help. So the church is being built up. Others are being built up. And you want them. If you never use them, they're not equipped to do what they need to do. It's just like the basketball team, the football team, the backup quarterback. If the backup quarterback never plays and then the starting quarterback gets injured and there's 10 seconds left, folks start shaking. But you ain't going to shake if you're always using, putting in that backup quarterback. Then they can stand the pressure because they've had enough reps. that second string point guard, 4 seconds left. Boom, their ankle hurt. Boom, they can't play no more. They're wobbling off. Everybody looking down that bench, the second string. Never been in a game all season. Oh, my. So we have to build up. And the Bible says that we have to build up and edify those around us, even if it's just to have some help around. So brothers and sisters, as we have to fan the flame, reflect on your gifts, and you've looked at what God has called you to do. What I'm saying is scripture teaches us we have to fan the flames of our gifts for two reasons. We have to build up ourselves. We have to build up the body of Christ. We have to build up others and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, son, stir up the gift that's within you. Because the body of Christ needs to be built up and the gospel message needs to be moved on. And we can only do that effectively by you stirring up what God has gifted you to be. So brothers and sisters, look for ways to serve in your community and look for ways to serve in your church. Whether it be outreach, whether it be teaching, whether it be hospitality, rather just be a good amen. Whatever it is that God has gifted you to do, then you go ahead and gifted. If you see somebody struggling, if it is your gift, put them on the back, put a pat on the back and say, I'm glad you're here. It's our next step. If you're gifted to do that, ensure that your gifts are an extension of God's grace and his mercy, not just to yourself, not for personal benefit, but to build others up. So what did we learn today? Today we learned to recognize the gifts that are within us. We also learn to fan the flames through practice and prayer. And we also learn to actively use our gifts for the kingdom of God, not just for our benefit, but to build others up. So as we leave today in this cold, wintry afternoon, take time to pray and ask God, how can you fan my flame, Lord? Whatever you want me to do. I'm not going to look at me, but I'm looking to you. Fan my flame. Lord, I've been through some things. I've been through some bad relationships. I've been through some health issues. I've been through some this and that. Even some church folk have not recognized my gifts, but you don't worry about that. You say, God, fan my flame. Stir up my gifts. And Lord, I'm going to make that commitment. Any way you want to use me, Lord. Any way you want to use me. Because first of all, I'm recognizing that I'm gifted. So any way you want to use me, Lord, for your service. So brothers and sisters, as we leave today, recognize that we need to fan the flame and ignite and activate the God-given spiritual gifts in our lives. Brothers and sisters, as you stand, is there one today? Is there one, my sister? Is there one, my brother, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Is there one on today? He's given you the gift to have faith. And if you have faith and you trust in God, you trust Jesus Christ for your righteousness. So if there's one today, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If there's one on today, if there's one today who wants to join and connect with this body of believers, if there's one on today, you may come, my brother, you may come, my sister. Is there one? Is there one today?
Amen. We are here in the body of Christ. We see that everyone here has accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everyone here is connected in the body of Christ. So let us say amen. 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 Everybody say amen. As we go to our various homes and places today, let us lift up the name of Jesus. Let's build up the body of Christ. And let's spread the gospel. Amen. Everybody say
amen.
Everybody say
amen.
Everybody say
amen.
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 Amen. Everybody say everybody say
amen.
Everybody say
amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
If you love them, say
amen.
If you love them, say
amen.
If you love them, say
amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this message on today that we stir up the spiritual gifts that you have placed in us. Thank you for using Timothy's journey and Paul and Timothy's relationship. People, tell us that we are here to build up the body of Christ, which is people carrying the gospel and advancing the gospel. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, will, and abide with each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray that as we travel out of this place, the roads may be slick and the air may be cold, but we know you are providing and keeping, God. Sustain us and protect us to our various destination. In Jesus Christ's name, let us say amen. Amen. Go with God. Go in peace.